Today is taken out of the book of Numbers, of the 11th chapter. We find that in the end of the 10th chapter, that God commanded the children of Israel to depart from the mount where they had been residing. And we find that they had to go 3 days' journey from Mount Sinai. And as they traveled, they came to this place. And when they were traveling already, we find that many of the people complained. And God was displeased with these people because they were complaining. And where their complaints arose before him, his anger came down upon them. And fire came out from the Lord and consumed many of them in the utmost part of the camp. And then they came to Moses and cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. And they called the name of that place Taberah, for there they buried them that were consumed by the fire. We have here then these people, the Israelites, complaining. It doesn't say what they were complaining about. Scripture does not give us any inkling why they were complaining. The commentary says they probably complained because they had to travel 3 days. But anyway, their complaints were sinful in the sight of God. And therefore, God became angry and he let down this fire which consumed many of them. We read likewise of two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. These two men, they offered strange fire upon the altar unto God. And the fire of God came down and consumed these two men, the sons of Aaron. We see that God sometimes quickly punishes sin. These people then that complained, they aren't any different than you and I, my hearers. How often we complain about trifles that mean nothing. Sometimes we have an ache and pain in our body, and right away we are complaining. Some people, they're always complaining. You meet them, the first thing they start talking with you, they're complaining about this and about that, mostly about their bodies and about their afflictions. Some people, they wake up in the morning, many people, they have a disposition which is very disagreeable. And all they do is complain until maybe about an hour or two, and then after a while, it seems to change. Some people, they're always complaining about their wives. Some complain about their husbands. Some complain about their children. Some complain about their employers. Some complain they have to work too hard. Some complain they don't get enough money for what they're doing. You know, the world is filled with complaints. If you consider this and just follow your own nature, how often do you not complain? And my hearers, there is only one justified complaint. We do not need to experience too much, and right away we complain. Take, for an example, Job. This brilliant man of God, of whom God said himself there was no man like Job, who was perfect and who was a holy man in all ways and in all respects. And he was one of the richest men in the East. And what happened to this man? In one day, all his riches were taken away. His children likewise were killed. He lost all his children. And then God came and let Satan afflict him with sore boils. And then he had a wife. She tempted him to curse God and die. And then we find that God hid his face from him. And then we read Job. Even today, he says, my complaint is bitter. The stroke is too heavy for me to bear. I go forward, he says, I see him not. I go backward, I perceive him not. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, he says. Here we have an example of a child of God, visited by Satan, left into the hands of Satan by God himself, and complaining. That this man, he had reasons to complain, don't you think so? And maybe you have many reasons to complain too, concerning various things that happen to you in life. You know, complaining is a great sin in one way. It's showing that we are dissatisfied with the providence of God. Complaining is likewise of a discontented and a murmuring spirit. And often we meet this in our very bosoms ourself. And now the only justified complaint is what we read of in Lamentations. Wherefore should a living man complain? And let each one complain because of his sins. My hearers, there may be some amongst you that have experienced something in a similar way like Job. Job, he was richly blessed by God. And it may be that you likewise have been blessed by God providentially. But it may also be that you have lost everything, that you became poor, that you had nothing left of what God gave you. And oh, if I should meet you, what would I hear? Oh, how you would complain. And what would that be? That would be enmity against God and against his providence. My hearers, there may be some of you who have been given a new life. You may have been born again, and you may have enjoyed so much of the Lord's presence in the former time. Oh, how sweet it was to come up to the house of God. Oh, how lively was your soul under the means of grace. Oh, how lively you were under prayer, under the reading of the scriptures. When you went alone in secret, you found access, you found nearness to God. And oh, you loved God. You wanted to live for God. You made so many vows and resolutions inwardly that you were going to live holy. Or if possible, you were going to live without sin. Or you walked with God and you talked with God. And he was your friend. Was it ever so with you? And maybe you thought just like I did. Or you thought you were going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. And all this God was going to be your God. You were going to shine like a burning light here below. And what happened, my hearers? Oh, I know what happened. All those lively feelings, they seemed to die away. And oh, you became so cold. You became so unexercised. For those blessings that you had under the means of grace were withheld. You came to the same church, you heard the same truths, but it did not affect you. Oh, it had no power accompanying it. And then what did you find? Why, you found your old nature coming back. You thought you had your sin subdued, you thought you had your flesh crucified. Oh, you thought, surely, I will grow in this way and become holier and holier. And instead, oh, you became so sinful. You found your lust, your passions, your corruptions too strong for you. They overpowered you. They overmastered you. And all the things of this world, they seemed to get such a hold upon you again that you began to doubt whether ever God put anything into your heart or whatever you had experienced was of God. And oh, if I should follow you, into your inner chamber if you came there, what would I hear? Oh, I would hear you complaining. Complaining about yourself, about your weakness, about your inability to overcome sin. Complaining that you have nothing anymore under the means of grace, that God hides his face from you, and that because of your sins. And all my hearers, sometimes you think maybe the fire of God will come out and consume you because you have done these things. And it would be so just if it did. And all such souls, they complain because they can't live the way they desire to do. All my hearers, there's one text in the Bible that's in your favor. And what is that? Wherefore should a living man complain? And let me tell you, it's only a living man that complains. No dead people complain about these things, my hearers. Oh, no. The dead are satisfied in the state they are in. They're never troubled about these things. They've never experienced anything like you did, which brings you upon your knees complaining in this way. Oh, and let me say, at times, are they not living complaints? Don't you seem to be able to unburden it to God and get rid of it? That it seems to go somewheres, that it ain't just going up against the wall or against the ceiling, but there seems to be an ear that hears it. And truly, my hearers, those are your most blessed times for yourself, even with all your complaints. Oh, I wish that every one of my Bible class were complainers in this respect. Oh, this complaint, my hearers, is justified in the sight of God. And this is to bring you away from all what you expected and all what you thought would lead you to heaven, so that you would be led to Jesus Christ and be given to see that he only can save you. These Israelites, they came to Moses. We don't read that they fell upon their knees, that they justified God because God visited them this way, that they confessed their sins. No, but they came to Moses. And so you saw, you must come to Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can quench the fire of God's wrath, for otherwise this wrath of God is going to consume you and I. He stands between the guilty sinner, and he alone can deliver you from the wrath which is to come. And now, my hearers, we find that these people, the Israelites, they are such a type of you and I. We find that there was a mixed multitude that went up with them. This mixed multitude were not Israelites. They were Egyptians. They left their country because God had sent so many plagues upon it. There didn't seem to be any reason for them to stay there anymore. And they thought they would venture with the Israelites. They had heard them speak that God was going to give them to worship them in the wilderness, so that these Israelites desired a 3-day journey to go into the wilderness, and these Egyptians expected to see some wonderful manifestation of the God that these Israelites worshipped. And now these mixed multitude, they fell to lusting. They began to lust after flesh. And not only this mixed multitude, but the Israelites too, they began to weep and to desire flesh. We have here then this mixed multitude. My hearers, these people are just the type of the Church of Christ throughout all ages. There's always a mixed multitude in the church, in this church, and in every church. And usually it's the mixed multitude that begins to desire to have something else. These people, they were not satisfied with manna anymore. Every day they had the same food. God rained manna down from heaven for the Israelites. And now this mixed multitude wasn't satisfied anymore with this manna. They wanted flesh to eat. But did they get on their knees? And did they beseech God in true faith that he would give them meat to eat? No. They demanded meat. They wanted flesh. And this also made the Israelites just like them. You know, they say who you associate with, those you become like them. And so these Israelites, they became just like these Egyptians. And pretty soon the whole multitude of people were all crying for flesh. Flesh they wanted and flesh they demanded. And now, my hearers, it is the mixed multitude in most congregations likewise that are not satisfied with manna. The manna is the type of the Word of God. God in his goodness and love has given unto us his precious Word. And the simple teaching and preaching of it from Lord's Day to Lord's Day becomes boring. Most people become dissatisfied with just hearing the plain preaching of the gospel. They desire what? They desire either that the minister would be educated, that he would speak more brilliantly and hold them more in interest. They desire likewise more music in the church. They desire a beautiful church. They desire likewise maybe only one service a day. That's enough. Then we have time for something else. This you always find amongst a mixed multitude. And this mixed multitude fell to lusting. Lusting after flesh. And my hearers, the Israelites likewise, they became contaminated with them. Does that happen too with the true Israelites today? Oh yes, my hearers. Oh, sad to say, it goes with the Church of Christ, the true church, the same way as it went with these Israelites. Oh, my hearers, they likewise began to weep and to cry for flesh. This happens when God in his mercy has blessed sinners with the preciousness of his word, and they have found it to be their meat and their drink, just like the manna was unto the Israelites. This manna was good for the young, good for the old. It was good for the weak. It was good for the strong. It was a food that was good for everyone there. And we find the Word of God to be that way too. The Word of God is good for the young, especially those that have just been born again. Oh, the sincere milk of the Word, how precious it is for those. How they feed on it, how they nourish and are strengthened by it. And my hearers, the Word of God is also good for those that are of an elderly type in the Church of Christ. And those that are more established and more firmer in grace, they have strong meat. The Word of God then is the manna that we have to this day. And this manna, my hearers, is despised likewise. As it was despised by the Israelites, so it becomes with the true people of God. Oh, my hearers, there was a time when the Word of God meant everything. Oh, when the pure, simple preaching of it was so good for their hearts. And all they wished it was Lord's Day every day. But then there comes a time when God withholds the operations of his Spirit in their hearts. And then they come up to the house of God and they have nothing. Lord's Day after Lord's Day, nothing falls for their souls. And then, my hearers, they likewise desire other things. And then these mixed multitude amongst them began to talk about this in the church, and that ought to be in the church. And soon you have so many things in the church. You just look around us in the neighborhood in which we are in. Why, their whole religion is nothing else but a flesh pot. That's all it is. It's just to satisfy people. The word of God they care not about. They have to have social activities. They have to have this and that in the church. They have all kinds of recreation. This the mixed multitude bring into the church, my hearers. They don't belong in the church. These things that I'm talking about. The pure preaching of the word of God is sufficient in any church. And if we don't have that and we have to have other things, why, we are despising the manna that God has given unto us. It says in this chapter that our soul is dried away and we have nothing but this manna. And that is the way it goes with the child of God too. Oh, when their soul becomes so dried up and they don't have any manna anymore, that is, any spiritual nourishment and food for their souls, and then they likewise go along with all these things. Find the children of God today. Oh, they don't live the way they should. I'm one of them, and I'll admit that. Oh, my hearers, this can go, that can go. And what do we do with that? Why, we quench the Spirit of God that it departs from us. And there's no power, there's no efficacy going forth with the manna that we have. God withholds the operations of His Spirit. Because we desire flesh, we desire things that are inconsistent with God and with His Word. This is the way it went amongst this multitude. Oh, this mixed multitude started it. And it's still the same way today. And now, my hearers, they came to Moses and they demanded of Moses flesh. And God looked down upon them and God was displeased with them and He became angry with them. And Moses likewise was displeased with these people. And now Moses, he went to God. And he said unto God that these people, they demanded flesh off him. And where was he going to get flesh to feed such a multitude? And Moses, he became displeased. As I was meditating upon this, I began to think, all the people were dissatisfied, and here Moses likewise, he's dissatisfied. What does he demand of God? He demands of God that God would kill him out of hand, that God would take him away. Do not let me see this wretchedness anymore. I can't bear with all these people. They're too much of a burden for me. And if I have found favor in thy sight, kill me out of hand so I won't see all this wretchedness. You can understand Moses a little bit. The leader of these people, all so many complaining and so many lusting, and this poor man, he was the leader. They came to him. They did not go to God with their complaints. And now Moses, he desires to die. He desires that God would take him away. And he said unto God, have I conceived all these people? Have you given them unto me as a nursing father carries its child? I can't bear with all these people, for they're too much for me. And now God is so good unto Moses that he said that he would give unto him help. He said, choose 70 men from amongst you that are elders amongst the people and bring them to the tabernacle, and I will come down and talk with you, and I will put some of your spirit upon these 70 so that they will bear the burden with you. And now God speak also unto Moses that he would give unto these people flesh to eat. He says they won't only have just flesh to eat one day or 2 days or 5 days, but they will have it for a whole month. And they will have so much of it that they will have it that will come out of their mouth. They will be nauseated of it. They will loathe it. And now, my hearers, God is so good, you would say, as to give unto these people flesh to eat. But you know, there are things that we can demand of God, and they are not in his favor. And God gives them unto us, but they become a curse to us. They become the ruin of us. It is good that we are violent at the throne of grace for our soul's welfare, but to be like these people, demanding and lusting, and then to have it given unto us, then we have it not in the favor of God. And this is the way it went with these people, my hearers. It may be that God has given you something that you demanded, that you lusted after. Oh, we lust after so many things, my hearers, in this life. Oh, we desire to be rich. We desire to have a nice, beautiful home. We desire to get ahead in the world. We desire to have a good position. We desire to have authority. And we may have these things given unto us. And then we may have riches piled upon it. And we may enjoy ourselves in the world. Or we may have our fill of this life, I would say. But in the midst of it sometimes, while we are enjoying it, God comes and takes us away. And then we did not have it in his favor. But then it was to the ruination of soul and body. And this is what happened to these Israelites. God gave Moses that he called 70 of these elders to the tabernacle, and then the Spirit of God came down upon them. And while the Spirit was upon them, these 70 prophesied. That does not mean that God took away some of the Spirit of Moses. No, the Spirit that Moses had remained, but God gave these people some of the same sort of Spirit that Moses had. And now there were two men that were called, but they did not come. Their names were written upon the roll, and they should have come to the tabernacle, but they remained in their position, in their tents. And while they were in their tents, the Spirit of God came down upon them two men, and they began to prophesy. Medad and Eldad. And now Joshua, when he heard that these two men were prophesying in their tents, he went to Moses about it. He complained to him and said that those men shouldn't be prophesying where they were. But Moses, he was of an altogether different spirit. Oh, he says that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Now that was his desire. And that is a correct and a good desire to have in our hearts, to have all the people of God to prophesy and have his Spirit dwelling in them richly. And now, my hearers, God came with an east wind, and with the wind there came quails. And these quails, they fell round about the camp. About a mile away, there was nothing but quails all around the camp. And when this was known by the Israelites, they began to go out to gather these quails. And every man went and gathered so many of them. And they brought them back, and they hung them up to dry them. Now the commentary disagrees and says they couldn't have been quails. They must have been locusts, some delicacy that these people ate at that particular time, and ate when they were in the land of Egypt. And now these people, they gathered so much, they all had plenty. And now when they began to eat, while they were chewing this meat, then God came. He brought, according to the commentary, an infectious disease into these people. The meat probably that they ate had this infection in it. And so many of these people died immediately. Oh, how God spake to these people in this way. There they buried them that lusted it became a graveyard of Israelites and of Egyptians. Oh, God spake very clearly, very powerfully against these people in this way. And my hearers, are we any different as I have been describing these people? And have we not lusted after many things contrary to the commandment of God, just as these people did? And what a wonder that God bears with you and I. Oh, that he has not taken us away in his wrath and in his anger. Oh, what a wonder it is if we, by the Spirit of God, are given to lust after the flesh of Jesus Christ. That is the only meat that you and I are permitted to lust after, my hearers. And if you may be given to partake of that meat, then you are a blessed individual. Oh, lust not after the world. Lust not after the things of time and sense. Lust not after flesh. You and I, if we are born again,